Luke chapter 1. Let's turn there together. The best thing we can do at a time like this is dive right into the Word of God. Isn't that right? Find our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and then go out and take that hope to our city right now. And that's what God's calling us to do. So we're going to dive right in. Luke chapter 1 today, we're in verses 39 through 56. We're looking at where Mary visits Elizabeth, but also the famous Magnificat, Mary's anthem of praise whenever she is prophesied to by Elizabeth, and how God works in that. And what we see here is Mary turning a burden into a blessing. Hey, don't you know that the burdens of life, when we give them to Jesus, can become blessings? Come on now. And she would experience an incredible blessing, bringing the Son of God into the world. But she would have some incredible burdens and difficulty to walk through in the weeks and months and years in front of her, based on the timing of what we're reading in this passage. Christmas is an opportunity, isn't it? Christmas provides us a lot of opportunities. Think about it. We eat and drink things we typically don't throughout the year. Is that right? Eating and drinking things we typically don't. Eggnog. Have I got any eggnog fans in the room? Oh, bless the Lord. It's like drinking warm yogurt. Oh, it's terrible. I love you in Jesus' name. Oh, it's bad, right? It's so bad, right? We eat and drink things we typically don't throughout the year. We give gifts to people that we typically don't throughout the year. We give little thank you gifts and Christmas gifts. We sing Christmas songs. Where's all my Christmas songs fans at? Christmas songs. Yes. In our home, Christmas songs start playing right after Halloween. I mean, it starts like November 1. My wife is a Christmas in July Hallmark movie junkie. Are there any more of you ladies, especially in the house, maybe that, yeah. She loves the Christmas and the summertime movies on Hallmark. We get to see family, certain extended family members that we may not connect with the rest of the year. We binge watch football. Come on, guys in the room, right? Between Christmas and New Year's is the best time for football in all of the year, right? You got all the bowl games. You got NFL games going on. I mean, it is binge watch football time. Christmas provides a lot of opportunities. It also provides us an opportunity to bless someone else in need, doesn't it? And boy, those opportunities are all around us now, aren't they, in this Christmas season? So it gives us opportunity to bless others in need. It gives us an opportunity to bless our family. Not to be critical or skeptical or cynical or negative, but it gives us the opportunity to bless our family. It gives us the opportunity. Christmas time's a great opportunity, isn't it? To reconcile a broken relationship. Could be with a family member. Could be with your own parents or siblings or your children. Would to God that we would reconcile at Christmas time. Gives you a great opportunity to connect with your neighbors, doesn't it? To take some cookies next door and just say, man, praying for you guys. Merry Christmas and glad to have you as neighbors. And just to be a witness for Christ. Just to provide a little touch there. It gives us an opportunity, doesn't it? Christmas season gives us an opportunity to reassess where we are in life, doesn't it? To really reflect on what matters and where am I as a person? Where are we as a family in terms of living for God or not? Serving God or not? You know, are we really living a life that's honoring unto Jesus? Or are we just kind of running the rat race like everybody else, man? Just busy and paying bills and doing life. Oh, it gives us an opportunity to reassess and to reflect. Mary here has an incredible opportunity. I don't know if you've ever thought about it this way or not, but Mary has an opportunity here. The angel Gabriel comes and says, you're going to birth the Son of God. She's either all in or all out. There's no in between here. And obviously the Holy Spirit of God would come and would overshadow her, and the child to be born in her is is a miraculous gift, right? Jesus, born of a virgin. But you get my point, right? She's either going to be all in or all out. She's either going to live all in for God and be this witness and bring the Son of God into the world, or she's going to flee and run for her life and never look back. And by the way, there's so much of that that really is a picture of faith. Jesus said if we're not with Him, we're against Him. To be friends with the world is to be an enemy of God. It doesn't mean relationships, caring about people, but being a friend of and in agreement with the ways of the world and the wisdom of the world and all the stuff that's thrown at us in this culture that's against God. To be a friend with the ways and wisdom and thoughts of this world is to be an enemy of God. The truth is, there is no middle ground, right? In faith. You're either all in for Jesus or you're all out. And all in doesn't mean perfection, but it does mean a direction of life. I mean, I'm pursuing God with all that I am and all that I have. Opportunity. Christmas gives us an incredible opportunity also to turn our burdens into blessings, to go all in our faith, no matter the difficulty that may come or that you're walking through. Christmas gives us the opportunity, reminds us, Jesus came. He's over it all, and let's trust Him, right? Luke chapter 1, let's read together, verses 39 through 56. In those days, Mary's just gotten the word from the angel Gabriel, and Gabriel said, by the way, Elizabeth in her old age also is having a miraculous child, not a virgin birth, but a miraculous birth. She's beyond childbearing age, John the Baptist, right? Your relative Elizabeth is going to birth John the Baptist, the forerunner, coming in the spirit and character of Elijah. And so now, verse 39, in those days Mary arose, and she went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" By the way, has Mary called up Elizabeth on the cell phone? Has she told her that the angel met with her? No. Elizabeth, by simply the bidding of the Holy Spirit, is declaring all this over Mary's life. What a confirming thing, right? We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But a prophetic word that the Holy Spirit of God's giving Elizabeth, and Mary ain't said a word about Jesus coming in the world through her yet. And he said a word. And they hadn't been able to communicate before this point. And so, man, it's just incredible what the Holy Spirit of God will do. The Holy Spirit of God will give you premonition, won't He? He will give you a prophetic word at times so that you can, listen to me, minister to others. This morning, just when talking about all that's happening with all this tornado, we've already got people that are coming to us that God had already put in their heart to help people in specific and personal ways. Financially and in other ways, even before the tornado ever came. And they said, "I didn't understand exactly what God was doing, but now I know. So here's some resources." I mean, it's just incredible how God will prepare your heart, right, and prepare the way. And so Elizabeth here, she says, "For behold," verse 44, "when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Now Mary, famous Magnificat, Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. He has looked on the humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their homes and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home. In this passage, we see where Mary turns an incredible burden into an incredible blessing. Mary's name, by the way, it's interesting. Her name in Egyptian, in Middle Egyptian, means beloved. Mary means beloved in Egyptian. But in Hebrew, it means bitter. So you've got this combination of two ideas, even in her name, that she's beloved and blessed of God, but she's going to walk through some very bitter circumstances in the years, weeks, months, and years ahead. Consider the burdens that Mary now would carry throughout her life. Number one, the shame, obviously being pregnant. Shameful thing, right? Out of wedlock. And nobody's going to believe, right, other than Elizabeth, Zechariah, and Joseph. There's very few, the shepherds and the wise men, and there's just not very many that are really going to believe this, that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Secondly, she had the burden of raising the Son of God, right? Children are hard enough to raise, much less when they really are perfect. Can I get an amen on that? And so, man, now she's going to raise the Son of God. Thirdly, she had to submit to Jesus' lordship. In fact, where Jesus turned the water into wine, his very first miracle, John chapter 2, it says that that Jesus tells her there. She says, "Hey, they're out of wine." He says, "Woman, what does that have to do with me?" And he's not being disrespectful there. He says, "My hour has not yet come." In other words, the beginning of my ministry, public ministry, hasn't officially started yet. And Mary makes that declaration where she says, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." And submitting to Christ's lordship. So she had the burden of having to submit to his lordship. But then number four, she had the incredible burden of watching him be crucified, didn't she? Scripture tells us that she was at the very foot of the cross. Because what did Jesus say to John when he was hanging on that cross? Right? He cried out to his mother, "Behold your son." But then he speaks to John, the apostle, and says, "Hey, behold," right? "You take care of my mother from this point forward." He declares to John, "It's your job to take care of her from this point on." It's been said, God will not put more on us than we can bear. You ever heard that? Who's heard that before? God will never put more on you than you can bear. Well, I'm here to tell you today that's not true. God will never put more on you than he can bear. Not more than we can bear, but more than he can bear. And that's the point of it. Mary declares here, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." And so she's able to see beyond the moment and give God praise, understanding that he's sovereign over this. He's going to carry it all. So Mary teaches us the joy and blessing of God is worth more than anything this world has to offer. Is that true today, church? Come on, somebody. Whatever this world has to offer, listen, the blessing of God is worth more than all the popularity or the fame or the money or dignified status in the community, all that stuff. Honoring Jesus, the reward of the blessing of God is infinitely greater than all of that other stuff. And Mary here turns all these burdens into incredible blessings. How do you do that? Let me give you three ways we turn the burdens of life into great blessings. Number one, you got to run to the right people. You got to run to the right people. Where did Mary go? Well, she went to Zechariah and Elizabeth's house. Now, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they're family. Elizabeth is. They're family. But they're also the only people who will understand her plight and will come in agreement with her, will stand with her and love on her. The church, listen to me, church, the church is your burden carrier. Is that right? Come on now. The church is your burden carrier. Elizabeth and Zechariah, their family, they're the only ones that would understand the situation. The Lord told her that Elizabeth would walk with her through this. If you lean into the geography of this, from Nazareth to Judah, to this hill country of Judah, is some 70 to 80 miles away. So picture this. So here you have Mary, this teenager, probably no more than 15 years old, most historians and theologians tell us, probably not more than 15 years old, on foot, leave home and go 70 to 80 miles through Israeli wilderness, right? Maybe a town or two here or there, village or two here or there, but all the way through this area, all that to just to get to Elizabeth. Yeah, and there's some people that won't get out of the bed in the morning and come to church right down the road from them. Come on now. I mean, you kidding me? I mean, here you got a teenager who leaves her home. This is possibly taking her multiple days to get where she's going. It doesn't say that she loaded up and took a whole lot of anything with her. But by faith, she said, man, I got to get to somebody who's going to encourage me. I got to get to Elizabeth. The angel just told me Elizabeth understands my plight. She'll speak over my life and she will encourage me. Here she is, teenage girl, all alone in the wilderness, traveling to see her family. Elizabeth and Zechariah, they represent here not just your physical family, but also the church. They represent the church. J.D. Greer recently made this statement. Church is not a weekly service we attend to make God happy. The gathering of the church is preparation for the battle, isn't it? We huddle together for a few moments each week to worship God, to pray, and to build each other up so that each of us can more effectively carry out the mission of God throughout the week. That's what church is for. John Wesley once said it like this, the Bible knows nothing of solitary religion. Boy, aren't you grateful for the church today? Yesterday, just speaking with Kim and Kara, Pastor Kevin's wife and daughter, and talking about how their small group, and some of you in here may be a part of their small group, man, how they're coming alongside and they're bringing meals and how can we help you? And they're doing everything they can to serve them. That's the church. Come on now, isn't it? Listen, the church is burden carriers. Can you imagine what it's like today for folks who are going through what we're going through in this city and they don't have a church family to love on them? And that's what God's calling us to do, to step in and just assume everybody's a part of Living Hope. Come on now, it doesn't mean everybody's saved. Doesn't mean everybody we come in contact with is going to heaven. In fact, most of them are not. But that's why they need the church. Isn't that right? That's why they need the gospel. They need the encouragement of God's people. And so the church, but some people have this idea that church is all about them. That it's just a place to come and, you know, kind of appease my conscience a little bit and, you know, take my family to all these programs, and it's just a place for others to meet my preferences and my expectations. Reminds me of a story of a man that he was the only one that survived a terrible plane crash, right? Kind of like the movie with Tom Hanks. What was that? Cast Away, right? Wasn't that the name of the movie? Same kind of thing. And the guy was stranded on a deserted island all by himself. Well, 5 years later, he was finally rescued. And the rescuers looked, and they saw three huts on this island, right on the beach there. And they asked him, said, hey, tell us, we thought you were here all by yourself. What's the three huts for? He said, well, I am all by myself. He said, the first hut's my house, right? And that hut right over there, this second one right over here is my church. And they said, well, what's the third hut for? He said, that's the church I used to go to. Some people you just can't make happy, can you? Some people you just can't make happy, isn't that right? Some think church is all about them, but it's not, is it? It's all about, we're here to worship God and to serve each other. And by the way, there's times also where you need ministry as much as you need to give ministry. Listen, there may be some of you here right now that yesterday tornado messed up your home, or you've got family members or friends that right now are dealing with incredible loss. Let the church help you. Come on, somebody. That's the job of the church. Let us know that. We have to lay down our shame at times, especially men in the room. We have to lay down our ego and our shame and say, you know what? I need some help. I need somebody to come alongside. Yeah, we could use a meal. Yeah, we could use some income right now if the church has got some that they're giving out anyway. I mean, we could use that. Listen, that's what we're here for. It's to love each other, to do life together. Isn't that right? And so, man, we got to listen. Yeah, give God praise. Yeah. We got to run to the right people. What did Mary get when she got to church? It's a good word. Number one, she got confirmation. How do you know that what you're studying in God's word is right? How do you know that what you believe about God is right? Well, you got to get in the church. And that's where you have other godly folks that will come alongside who've been in the Word for a long time, and then you're asking questions. That's where your small group comes in. That's where your pastor and pastors, as we're preaching, teaching the Word in multiple environments, that's where we come in. What does the Bible say? What is true about God? What is true about man? What is true about salvation? What is true about where this world is headed and what's going to happen in the last days in the kingdom of God? What is true about all that stuff? And so she got confirmation. Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, speaks a prophetic word over her life. And so too, when you come to church, this is a place to be confirmed, to have your doctrine built on the right foundation of Christ. But also, secondly, she received consolation here, didn't she? Comfort. And that's what the church is for. Confirmation and consolation. And consolation is encouragement. That's where we come alongside and we build the faith of one another. Sometimes that's a hard conversation. Sometimes that's a prayer over someone. Sometimes it's just coming alongside and giving somebody a hug, isn't it? It's all the above. And so, confirmation and consolation. Hebrews chapter 10 says it like this: let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Do you believe we're in the last days, church? Come on now. With all the chaos in our world, do you believe we're in the last days? Yeah, I do. I believe we're in those last days before Jesus comes again. Scripture says this is not a time to skip church. It's a time to be the church. It's a time to be in the church, but also to be the church in one another's lives. And so turning a burden into a blessing, we all have burdens that come in life in different times, different ways. But turning a burden into a blessing, first of all, you got to run to the right people. You got to have the encouragement of the body of Christ. Secondly, let's keep moving. Not only do we have to run to the right people, we've got to secondly make the right profession. Praise. Can we praise God today, church? Come on now. Can we praise God? Absolutely we can. No matter how dark or difficult it gets, we can praise God. Now, Mary had a whole lot of light in her heart and her spirit, so to speak, right now, because the angel had said, you're going to bring the Son of God into the world. And this 3 months that she has with Elizabeth is respite time. It's rest and refresh time to prepare her heart for the rest of the journey. By the way, Elizabeth's been pregnant for 6 months. Mary stays with her 3 more. Many believe that Mary actually saw the birth of John the Baptist. Why did she stay 3 months? Well, she stayed there also to serve Elizabeth and to help her birth this baby, right? And to see John the Baptist. Interesting context there. And so, but now she praises. Whenever Elizabeth speaks that confirming word over her life, she receives it. And she says, that's it. That is confirmation. And so, God, I'm going to give you praise. How many of you know today, praise releases the burden, doesn't it? Praise releases that burden. Praise says, God, I'm going to give you victory. In the midst of her great burden, her family's going to disown her. The community's going to shame her. No more wedding celebration. If you know anything about Hebrew culture, when it came to a wedding, man, it's a week-long celebration. When those wedding vows are exchanged and the room is ready and now I'm going to move in with my betrothed and consummate the marriage and make it official. I mean, man, it was a week-long celebration. Everybody in the whole city, man, were in on this thing and celebrated. No more wedding celebration. No more storybook ending. No more comfortable life. All of that's going to be gone. But in the midst of all that, Mary chooses praise. Come on, somebody. She chooses praise. There is great victory in praise. There's incredible victory in giving praise to God. Praise is our unashamed declaration that God is good no matter what. Let me say that again. That's just fifth grade level simple for us. What is praise? It's gratitude, right? It's thankfulness, but it is our unashamed declaration, public declaration, that God is good no matter the circumstance. Praise also completely disarms the devil. Praise completely disarms the enemy. So when the enemy comes with accusation and intimidation and all these things, outright attack in your life, praise completely disarms the devil and renders all of his weapons powerless, because it puts Jesus on back on the throne of our life, in the center of our mindset, and it declares that name. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. When we declare the name of Jesus, all of hell has to flee from our life. It's so praise is victory. The Magnificat here is also dripping with Old Testament scripture. Did you know that? With Hebrew scripture. Dripping with it. From Genesis and Psalms and Isaiah. But really here, the Magnificat is most like Hannah's declaration of praise from 1 Samuel chapter 2. Hannah, the great mother of Samuel, and she was barren. God gave her a miracle child. And what did she do with that child? She gave Samuel back over to the Lord. Don't miss the beautiful picture. She's leaning into Old Testament scripture saying, my soul magnifies the Lord and I rejoice. And this child within me, I'm going to give back not just to the church, but also to the world. This is the Son of God who's going to come and save everyone, like Samuel was the great priest and judge and leader of Israel, who came and led in such a powerful way. God's word, are you listening today? God's word fuels our worship, doesn't it? Fuels our worship. The reason that some of you can't worship or praise is simply because you're not in the word. And it's amazing how when our heart and mind get full of the word, so too comes out praise. She finishes with this statement, from this point on, now all generations will call me blessed. She was able to look beyond the moment and see the final fulfillment of God. Obeying God today is what brings blessing tomorrow, doesn't it? Obeying God today is what brings blessing tomorrow. Oh, I invite you today, praise God in the midst of difficulty. How do you turn your burden into a blessing? Run to the right people, but then choose praise right in the middle of what's going on. Get in the word, get in prayer, and declare your gratitude to the Lord. Praise Him for who He is, what He's done, but also what He's going to do. Oh, we got to run to the right people. We got to make the right profession. But thirdly and lastly today, we got to trust the right person. That's Jesus, right? Give it to Him. Trusting God relinquishes the burden. Trust Him. Just lay it all at the foot of the cross. 3 months later, when Mary would leave this place, this unmarried local girl will return to Nazareth and come down from the hills at least 3 months pregnant. But it made no difference to Mary. God had confirmed His word. A baby had leaped. The Spirit had moved. Elizabeth had blessed. God had given her a song of praise. Now let the people say what they will say. Let the people do what they will do. All her hope and trust was in Jesus. What about you today? Is all your hope and your trust completely in Jesus? Whatever burden or difficulty you're carrying today, I got good news. Jesus said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Today, you can put that burden on Jesus. He took it for us on the cross. He conquered it through His resurrection life. Listen, Christmas is an opportunity. Today, you and I, we have the opportunity to get right with Jesus. and to lay our burden down at His feet. Will you do it?
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. So glad you could join us. If you've given your heart to Jesus, text HOPE JESUS, all one word. Text HOPE JESUS to 77411. HOPE JESUS 77411. And let me encourage you to subscribe to this podcast. If you hadn't done that already, make sure to hit that subscribe button and share it out. You never know whose life might be changed by simply sharing this message today. So share it out. Okay? And so thank you again for listening in, and we invite you to listen in with us next week.